Commit to doing your prospecting calls every day. Well, the first two CDs we talked about, I shared some happy stories. I figure on this one, I'm going to tell you a couple of not so happy stories. The first one, I had been selling book printing. I was young in my career. Really, my first year in the business, I was hired by a company, and my routine was to make 50 phone dials a day and go out and visit 20 companies a day. Now, at the time, I was 23 years old. I looked like I just came out of my first Holy Communion. That's how young I looked. But I was, you know, hired to do this job. I had a virgin territory in the South Shore of Boston. And so that's how I spent my day. Well, every night I'd come home to my one-bedroom apartment and look in the mirror and ask myself, why isn't anybody buying from me? You know, is my tie on straight enough? Am I wearing the right color socks? I couldn't figure it out. So I spent 10 months. Now, the average order for the book printing that we did was $900, you know, a book that was short-run books. So 500 to 1,000 copies of a book costs roughly $900. Now, I had been doing this activity for 10 months. So I was averaging 100 calls a week for, what's that, 35 to 40 weeks. So I had made, what's that, 3,500 walk-in cold calls, and the results I had received from that at the time, I had sold collectively $60,000 total. Now, my sales manager was pretty much, he was a hands-off guy. He taught me product knowledge, but he didn't really have any game plan for me to engage prospects other than go out and meet them. So anyway, I had my two categories because we were a specialized business. One was, again, these are vertical markets I would call them. One was the Book Builders of Boston, which had about 240 publishers that I could call on. And then the second category was Massachusetts High Technology Directory, which had 2,700 companies that I could call on. So anyway, 10 months into it, I've sold $60,000. I'm soul searching at this point. I see my friend Rick at the supermarket, and he had just landed a job with a company called Lotus Development, which did accounting software. They were actually one of the first accounting programs out there. This was 1984, and he had a pretty easy job. He was making, he was the sixth employee of Lotus, and he told me that our Little League coach, Bill, had recommended him to the job. And I told him my situation, and he said, well, you should have dinner with Bill. We'll go out and meet Bill for dinner, talk to him about it. Now, Bill, when I was 12 years old, I used to think Bill was the richest guy in the world. He used to come up coaching our Little League game, driving his navy blue Volvo, wearing his three-piece banker suit, you know, navy blue banker suit, and he just had presence. Matter of fact, I drive a navy blue Volvo today because of him. You know, I used to think he was the richest guy in the world, so I bought the car, figuring I wanted to be the richest guy in the world, like Bill, my coach, and I. That's why I bought my car, because of him. So anyway, we go out to dinner. I tell him what I've experienced, and he's 48 years old at the time. Ironically, he's the same age that I am today. I'm 23. I wish I met me when I was 23, but I had to live the next 25 years to get to talk to you guys. But I told him that, you know, I had been doing the activity, making my 50 telephone calls a day and doing my 20 cold calls a day, and been doing it for 10 months, and my results basically is $60,000 total. And what he told me, which was good advice, it was innocent advice at the time, but he said, Joe, whatever you do, give it a year. You don't want to be known as a job hopper, so give it at least 2 more months before you decide what you want to do. So, long story short, I did take that advice, and good thing I did, because in my 11th month, you know, I'll give you a guess on how much I sold in that month. I told you I sold $60,000 for the first 10 months. Well, my 11th month, I wound up selling $370,000 in 1 month. And what had happened is this. By doing my prospecting every day, I had a schedule to revisit these accounts every 6 weeks, because I had chunked it down to basically 100 companies a week on a six-week cycle, close to 300 in the publishing arena and close to 300 in the high technology arena. And by making 20 calls a day, I could return visit to these companies. Now, again, I told you I was very young, and most of these buyers had relationships with other printers. And it usually takes about 18 months to break a relationship or walk into timing on a project. All these buyers were trying to do is see if I was going to stick around because I was so young. So basically, after the sixth or eighth time that I came back to them, 16 of those companies gave me a shot in the same month. And that shot yielded me $370,000 sales in 1 month. And from that point on, I had, until I left the printing company, I found myself at the top of the sales totem pole for the company. Actually, I was the top salesperson when I left that company. I handed off my legacy to a young guy named Brian at the time, and he's doing very well with it. But the moral of the story is that by making my calls on a regular basis over time, I eventually walked into timing on those accounts, and I showed staying power in the territory. I became familiar with these buyers and built long-lasting relationships with them. So kind of a happy ending to a not so happy beginning of a story. Well, the second story, this goes about 2 years into my sales career at this point. I had been doing a lot of work for a publisher at the Park Plaza building in Boston, and the president of that company liked me, and he always tried to refer me to people. He told me I needed to go downstairs to meet this publisher. I won't say the name, we'll call it XYZ Publisher. And I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I had never really experienced rejection at this point in my career. I had only been doing it for 2 to 3 years, and I was starting to hit my stride with the accounts that I have accumulated. And so I go downstairs in good spirits. I walk into the door of this company, and there's an older gentleman sitting over a light table designing a cover. Back then, in 1986, they didn't have computers, so all the work was done on a light table. And I told him why I was there and what company I worked for. You know, financial publishing company was a company I worked for. And without looking up from his table, the man said, "We don't do business with financial publishing company." Closed the door on the way out. And I had no comeback to that statement. I was in shock, actually. I didn't know what to say. So I politely walked out with my tail between my legs. And in any event, that moment affected me emotionally. I was I was thrown back by it. I was actually, I became fearful of making cold calls. And it took me several months to get over that event. And finally, I did work my way through it, but I was unprepared for that type of rejection. But the more cold calls that I made, I minimized that event. You know, I treated it like one thin dime. I figured if I'm making 1,000 cold calls a quarter, one person that didn't have the right timing for me, that was in a mean-spirited mood that day, isn't going to affect me. I can just throw that memory away and move on to the next one. So that's what I did, and fortunately for me, I worked my way out. But, you know, sales is an emotional game, and cold calling is frightening at times. And really, the only way that I've figured out to overcome rejection, which doesn't show up very often, but when it does, is to make a lot more calls. So, you know, I hope that you can remember that when you walk into a mean-spirited person or somebody just having a bad day. I look at it like he was just having a bad day that day. So then again, you know, we may have done something as a company that I was unaware of that a previous rep did that, you know, pissed the guy off. But anyway, the last story I'm going to tell you about is setting a trap. You know, the way that I've tricked myself to cold call every day, I actually figured this out accidentally. Everybody knows that I go to sales school with knows that I cold call a lot. And my friend Holly, who was working as a financial planner at the time for one of the largest companies in this area, had never cold called before, but she wanted to do it. So she asked if she could schedule some time to watch me do it. So, of course, I said yes. And picture this, Friday afternoon, middle of July, 106 degrees out, we're meeting at a junkyard in East Tampa to go cold calling. Now, I'm dressed in a short sleeve shirt. My company shirts are short sleeve shirts. They're like, golf shirts and dungarees because, you know, we're cold calling on junkyards. I didn't want to be overdressed. And Holly shows up driving a BMW wearing her black banker suit. And I look at her, I said, Holly, you know, that's a poor wardrobe choice for today. You know, it's 106 degrees out and we're going to be cold calling on junkyards. But anyway, what I said to her at that point, I said, every owner that we meet today, I'm going to ask them the same question. I'm going to ask them if they're a millionaire. And if they say yes, I'm going to say, my name's Joe Cole. I just tell people I shake hands with millionaires on Friday afternoon. So we wound up making 13 calls that day, landed in the middle of a parking lot in the shade, the only patch of shade in this parking lot of a lumber yard. And a big Mercedes pulls into the yard, you know, the biggest they make. And a giant of a man gets out fumbling with blueprints. And he walks around to the passenger side of his car and he's pulling binders. He's hunched over pulling binders out of his car. And I look over to Holly and I say, you know, I'm going to go ask this guy if he's a millionaire. And she looked at me. She's a little frightened because this is her first time out. She says, Joe, you're not going to ask him. Now, at this point, Holly had, you know, she's tired, she's hot, she's really dressed down to her undergarments because it's 106 degrees out. She just wanted to go home. I said, no, Holly, I'm going to go ask this guy. He looks like a millionaire. So walk over to the gentleman who's hunched over in his passenger side, and I ask the question, excuse me, sir, are you a millionaire? He stands up. I look up at him, and you know what he said? He said, matter of fact, I am a millionaire. And he told me that he's actually writing a course on how to teach people how to become millionaires. So he wound up giving me an autographed CD about the course. I said, well, that's great. Well, my name's Joe Cole. I have 16 acres of land that I'm selling today. I just wanted to put it in your hands to see if you had direct need or customers looking. He said, no, but I am getting ready to sell my 7 acres of land right up the street. So I had in my pocket my behavior recognition card that was filled out from the beginning of the year all the way up to July. I probably had it more than half the way filled out at this point. I pull out the card and I said, well, if you need a good guy to sell it for you, this is what I do. I show him the card. He looked at it, he immediately understood what it meant, and long story short, I wound up staying in touch with this man. The third Thursday of December, he winds up hiring me as a transaction broker, which means if I bring him a buyer, he'll pay me. And we agreed on 4%. That, you know, if it was a listing assignment, 6% is normal for this territory. I don't know what it is in yours, but anyway, so as soon as he signed me up that day, what he didn't know was I had, from all the hard work that I had put in cold calling for that year, I had an inventory of 17 exact users for that land. So all I did that Thursday afternoon was I started calling those 17 users. The 11th call I made that day wound up writing a $1.1 million offer, which he accepted the following day. And the moral of the story is this. If I didn't have Holly counting on me, if I didn't have a trap for me to show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, middle of July, 106 degrees out, I wouldn't have been there that day. I would have went home and swam in the pool with my four-year-old daughter. So that's the power of setting a trap. That's what I use on a regular basis now to get me to show up every day. I have scheduled my time with 5 different people in the morning to cold call 2 hours a day, which I recommend you folks do to start out. And then in the afternoon, I have another 5 people that I cold call with. So 50% of my week is scheduled to do cold calling. And you know, I'm slothful by nature, but I have to show up because these people are counting on me to be there. So, you know, that's the best way that I've found to show. It's kind of like having a workout partner at the gym or a trainer. You're not going to show up if somebody's counting on you to be there. So, anyway, takeaways for this chapter. Commit to doing your prospecting calls every day. Schedule 2 hours a day to work your prospecting plan. And if you commit to 201 days this year, making a minimum of 10 calls in those 2 hours, you'll hit the goal of 2010 cold calls this year. And that'll get you, you know, enough cold calls under your belt to attend our cold calling conference in Orlando this year. That's one of the requirements. Use your behavior recognition card to reward yourself and track your activity. And also on the blog, you can color in your activity on a behavior recognition card on the blog. I mean, that just broadcasts your activity with other people across the country. It's accountability with your peers across the country. And that's where you can share your stories online. We're going to actually vote for the best story of the month. The 12 best stories are going to get recognized at our convention at the end of the year in December. We're all going to Disney World. And, you know, I haven't figured out what they'll earn for that, but it's going to be something big. So make sure you do that. And then tell everyone you meet that you cold call daily. I mean, that will attract other cold calling partners for you and impress people that you're selling to. And then, you know, try to put on the board a cold calling partner, preferably a synergistic cold calling partner, which is someone that calls on the same type user that you call on every day. The benefit for that is that you both can serve that owner for a different reason. You'll be able to overlap your accounts and refer each other into accounts because you won't have, some of your accounts will not have duplication. And it's easier to refer somebody that has synergy with you. I know that I have no problem referring things to furniture companies, copy machine companies, telephone companies, IT companies, bankers, financial planners, property insurance. All of these categories are easy referrals for me because they have a synergy. And what I've discovered is that just by having that type of group around me and cold calling with me, they're always front of mind. So that ends this CD. I hope you make your 10 calls today, minimum, and 10 to, you know, 2 hours. If you're with somebody, you'll make more calls than 10. Trust me on that one. And I will talk to you on the next CD. Good selling.